Around the NFL Podcast is just a vessel for Dan's bits.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis.
That's not true.
And I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
By the way, I would imagine for listeners in...
My dog, Mark, with a C.
All right. In Britain, a vessel for your bits does not mean what it means here, a comedic forum for you. It means something much less savory.
Right.
I don't know what the vessel talk would be, but yeah.
A little junk talk. We're starting off the Wednesday show with some junk talk. Starting it off a little bit later than usual because Greg got a ring on the old bat phone, didn't he?
Yeah, Charlie Casserly had laryngitis, so they had to go deep into the bullpen.
What is this?
Really proving that money.
Look out, it's NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
Call the sheriff.
Call the sheriff.
Is that a Zick bit?
Zick bit.
What would have to happen
for
NFL Network to dial one of the three of us up to do this?
Oh, my God. Know?
Probably like, you know how they put the president and the vice president on separate planes?
Right.
If they did that with all the NFL media talent, of course, we wouldn't be on either plane. And then both planes went down. Maybe.
I still think it's a maybe.
Several people had to whisper into their ear that, you know, Chris Wessling works for you. Mark Sessler works for you.
Well, what if I had laryngitis?
Then they'd be like, who?
Yeah, they'd be like, what? Why would we put them on TV?
Good job, though, Greg. What'd you talk about?
They'd say dial up Peter King.
Playoff contenders, buy or sell. Me and old Tommy Pelissero.
Oh, Tommy P!
Who won the debate? Or was it a debate?
I mean, I think there was no scoring system, but I think the viewers decide that I won.
Speaking of debate, if you checked out our most recent Twitter, ATN Twitter show, which you could find on Twitter quite easily. Don't complain about it. It's kind of easy to find if you, you know, follow us on Twitter. We did the latest edition of the ATN Debate Club with the Hot Boys, Greg and Reggie Bush, against Wes and Sess Moving Company, Mark Sessler and Chris Wessling. I won't tell you how it turned out. You got to tune in. But there were shenanigans. Today's show's a good one. Got a lot coming to you on a Wednesday. TNF preview, Titans. Yeah, you heard me. Against the Jaguars in a very important game for one of those teams. Also, with four games remaining in the regular season for every team, we've hit the home stretch. Hit the home stretch. Boys, what's got you jazzed?
They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
The Frasier intro.
As a white boy from the suburbs, this was my introduction to jazz. So this is
really
this is how I recognize jazz.
I've got a nice playlist on Spotify you could subscribe to.
Mine was like,
that's fine.
Dennis Office.
Kelsey Grammer, he's jazz to me.
I don't think there's anything jazz about him.
I mean
he's a titan of the form.
No, the medium goes beyond Kelsey Grammer. Just to let you know, there is some room to explore.
I cannot believe Erica cut out. We love you, Seattle. I'm devastated about that.
You talked over it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. It was there.
That's not the first time.
Hoisted on your own petard.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's do some news.
The only reason I've been playing 19 years is to get to that 1,000 yards. And I did it. So, that's it. I'm out.
Yeah. I think he is out.
What was the back-end music there?
I don't know. That was interesting. I think he was getting into his car.
Yeah, he was playing some rap music out of his ass.
And he's a 40-something dad. He's like, I like the hip-hop. What about you?
I like that you think that somehow that hip-hop is like not the dominant, you know, form of music or pop culture. I mean, that's kind of just going along with the flow here. You're a man who loves popular music.
You are absolutely right that hip-hop is the dominant form in pop culture in terms of popularity.
And I don't think it's a young thing anymore.
But men in their 40s, white men in their 40s, I don't know if it's the dominant form.
I think it's kind of changed.
Well, hold on, Greg. I know this probably grates on you because you of your
Greg likes rap
knowledge, but I think it's hard to take a white dad in dad clothes in his 40s listening to like the cutting edge music very seriously. I appreciate that they may actually love that music, but it's hard to take them seriously from a distance.
Right. I think it's hard though to take that musical opinion seriously. If you're so close-minded, you can't open yourself up to all sorts of music.
It's not close-minded.
Love.
It's just simply
like jazz. I mean,
I guarantee
he heard
Greg,
that
you're
Fraser,
not being taken seriously.
He heard
on
that
this front.
Fraser bit. And it just opened up an entire world of jazz to a young Dan Hansis. And
at least one song.
I think there can
when
be
he was
great,
young.
Great music of any genre.
I think to put a bow on this conversation, because I think we're basically on the same wavelength, I think, is that hip-hop became the dominant pop culture music in about the early to mid-90s. So people,
while we were young. So now we're
so
old.
So people that – you're 39, right?
Right.
I'm 38. As we enter our 40s, I believe 40-somethings of all
right.
colors and creeds – it will be the dominant pop form.
You guys are right. I think the dividing line happened between when Mark and I graduated high school and when you guys graduated.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Well,
we
really
that's broke
why
it
I
down.
Listened to Enya, which was
we
Enya was hot
down.
Back in like 1991. I know that people don't imagine a time like that.
But it's okay for musical taste to evolve as you get older.
Absolutely.
That, but the argument sure. is not against that, which I think you're coming at this huge straw man thing. Like, you're the one who's evolving and the rest of us aren't. That's not the point. It's just hard to take any 40-year-old seriously.
You're pulling that card, honestly.
I am not.
But it's not the truth. Right?
Not at all.
Not at all.
And I love jazz, so it's like I'm a varied personality. I like all sorts of music. I like all sorts of music.
No, I mean, Mark's absolutely right. His evolving tastes.
I don't walk around pretending that I'm like...
Stuck on Enya.
I don't walk around acting like I'm some musical giant.
None of us do.
I have like 100 songs that I love and listen to all the time, and they don't need to be from 2018, released 3 weeks ago.
Let's start in the news with Kelvin Benjamin. The wide receiver, former first-round pick of the Panthers, traded for a couple of draft picks, third and a seventh, I believe, from the Panthers to the Bills about a year and a half ago, and that has led to very little in the realm of results. So the Bills decide, after two unproductive seasons and 18 games in which he scored just two touchdowns, they're letting the wide receiver go. Sean McDermott spoke this week, I believe it was today, in fact, Wednesday, on why the Bills made the decision to move on.
We stepped up to the plate, and you take a swing, and some of those are going to work and some aren't. But the only way you get a hit is if you take a swing. And the important thing, just as important for us, I believe, is when things are no longer right for us as our football team and where we are and the vision we're trying to chase, that we move forward, and that's what we did.
Coaches love those baseball analogies. Wes, what happened to Kelvin Benjamin?
He's slow, which has always been a problem, and he doesn't appear to be the most motivated guy. And when you put him on a team in a lost season, I think that motivation is even easier to question. And before this news even happened, I had watched the Bills-Dolphins game and wondered why he was jogging on his routes. So I'm guessing some of that had something to do with it.
It bothers me. If you're a Bills fan, you'd be a little bit concerned about the self-scouting, because the coach and the GM, Brandon Bean, came from Carolina. They knew inherently who Kelvin Benjamin was, because I don't think he fundamentally changed as a person when he went to Buffalo. Carolina was willing to part ways with him.
Although some players do go to Buffalo in Western New York, and once
no
the
doubt.
Winter comes, they fundamentally change.
No doubt, but they gave up a third and a seventh for a player that's out the door not too long after that. And I don't know. I get if you're a different coach and a different GM who didn't have that experience with Kelvin Benjamin previously.
He had less than 600 yards in 18 games. He wasn't going to be on the team next year, so this release is more of like a message sender and saying that whatever he's doing recently is not acceptable.
They want to play the young guys.
Right, and... But it's a disastrous trade. I mean, to give up a third-round pick for a season of Kelvin Benjamin at that level is a disaster.
And I would assume McDermott and the former Panthers brain trust that moved up north, they thought they would maybe get an approximation of the 2014 Benjamin, came into the league and went for 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. But he never really got close to that. He blew his ACL out, came back, had a similar season, but not at the same level. And that has never
been. He's all his jawing with Cam Newton and stuff. It just seems like not a team guy.
He has a limited skill set. If he's going to be maximized, he needs to be on a team that just focuses on that skill set, and that's it. He's not a number one receiver.
First team I thought of was the Steelers.
And don't forget, when they made this trade, they're trying to make their first playoff spot in 17 years, and they did. I don't think it was because of Kelvin Benjamin, but that was why you make kind of a desperate type of trade.
It was ideally because of him alone that they made the playoffs.
What has Big Ben been asking for ever since Plaxico Burress left? A 6'5" red zone target. And Justin Hunter out for the year with a shoulder injury. James Washington has played as poorly as any receiver out there. So why not bring in Kelvin Benjamin as your third guy? Since Ryan Switzer's in concussion protocol, they're hurting.
I mean, unless he's a raging locker room cancer, that would be the only
thing. That's what the Steelers love, though. Put Wessling in the Steelers front office. That's a good idea.
Let's move on. The Washington Redskins are in deep duty. Alex Smith broke his leg. Then Colt McCoy broke his leg. And now they need to make a signing to support Mark Sanchez, who's their starting quarterback. They go with Josh Johnson, who's been bouncing around, and we'll get to his connection to the AAF in a moment. But the comments I want to play here are the most predictable question that Jay Gruden or any team would get when they're signing a Josh Johnson-type player to their roster, and a very notable player named Colin Kaepernick is either overlooked or bypassed. Jay Gruden was asked why they did not go down the Kaepernick route. This is what he said.
No, just football, strictly football. Like I said, when you're talking about a backup quarterback this late in the game, in the season, you want to have somebody with a similar skill set than the quarterback that you have. Not that Colin can't do some of the things that I'm talking about, but somebody with a little bit of familiarity.
Buying or selling, Greg?
Well, I'm selling that explanation just because Colt McCoy and Josh Johnson – you know, they were in the same offense that Colin Kaepernick and Alex Smith were back in San Francisco. If anything, you know, I think he could adapt. But even going into last week's game, they mentioned Mark Sanchez going into that Monday night game had less plays available to him than a third or fourth string quarterback would have had going into the third preseason game. So it's not like Mark Sanchez, you know, had like knew the playbook and knew everything. And I think if you kind of accept that Colin Kaepernick ultimately isn't in the league because of his political stance, that's at least the main reason, that it's just annoying to hear the lip service each time this comes up.
I mean, you're basically telling Redskins fans, with your team still in the mix for a playoff spot, that we prefer Mark Sanchez to Colin Kaepernick,
right,
as a quarterback.
Right, which they did a few weeks ago.
And we prefer Josh Johnson, who, you know, at the San Diego Fleet from the AAFL or whatever it's called, gave up their first-round pick for Josh Johnson, and weeks later, their roster has been scattered to the wind.
It's a devastating setback for the Fleet, who just last week, the way that their draft is set up, it's either protect or pick. So you can protect one of your three quarterbacks on your roster, or you could pick an unprotected quarterback on another of the league's rosters. They say, we're going to rally around Josh Johnson. GM of the Fleet, Dave Bowler, said, we watched all the quarterbacks pretty closely. We were paying close attention to some more than others, but some stood out and caught our attention and did some nice things. But ultimately, Josh, both with his decision-making and his roots in San Diego, he was our guy.
Oh, it's devastating.
So where do you go from here, Wes, if you're the Fleet?
Make a trade for Christian Hackenberg?
I mean, Josh, why can't the Fleet sign Colin?
The season doesn't start till February, so they're fine. Doesn't the Redskins season ends in January?
That's like saying an NFL team losing their first round pick, and then you say, "Oh, the season's not starting for 4 months."
Yeah, Sam Darnold got yanked into.
Redskins are starting Mark Sanchez in the middle of a playoff race. I think the Fleet can deal with only a month of training for Josh Johnson. If you can get Josh Johnson up to speed in a week on an NFL team, the Fleet can handle it. I think I'm surprised made the argument with. I know everyone's like annoyed with the Kaepernick argument.
I like Greg giving actual analysis there about the Josh Johnson.
It's a setback for the
Josh Johnson's on his 12th NFL team, so he's obviously doing something right, like in the locker room. He's like a good guy to have as your backup, or else teams wouldn't keep signing him. I'm surprised no one's sort of made the argument to just sign Kaepernick for the worst reasons possible, which is PR. This is the ultimate PR league. It took hold because they had a PR-driven commissioner in Pete Rozelle. I think a lot of decisions, I don't think this is breaking news, are made at the league level for PR. And throughout NFL's history, ownership has sort of taken one for the team, for each other, for the greater good of the league, and just tried to do something to quiet down an issue. Like, it's the most cynical, bad reason possible. But that alone should be like a reason.
I hear
the
you,
Redskins
but...
take one for the team to to shut everyone up.
I hear you, but when the Ravens came close with Kaepernick, they had sponsors pulling out left and right. And it,
that was
it
a year and a half ago, though, and I think people said that. You know, no one's minded Eric Reid. No one cares that Kenny Stills is kneeling before every game.
All it takes,
still,
though,
right?
is one Donald Trump tweet to fire up the whole country and any scared sponsors, maybe.
I don't blame any team for deciding that Colin Kaepernick isn't worth signing. But right. I just wish we could get some truth instead of,
right.
like
right.
you said, the lip
just
service.
Don't even say it. Just don't even say anything. Just right. say, this is what we decide. You know, just – it's ridiculous, right. especially this scheme argument when Josh
That's
Johnson
insulting.
Literally was Colin Kaepernick's backup in San Francisco. Do you remember that?
I'd like to hear. We don't think signing the 35th best quarterback in the world is worth what comes along with him.
If that's what, yeah, if you wanted to say it that way.
Let's move on. Bruce Arians, a little bit thirsty. Bruce, he's working for CBS, and he floated it out there. Either I don't remember if it was Bruce himself or through back channels that he would be open to joining the Browns in a coaching capacity and only the Browns. And then when Mike McCarthy got fired on Sunday, a lot of people connected dots. Well, what about Bruce Arians with Aaron Rodgers? Well, Bruce Arians is back on the radio and he's speaking to Zach Gelb of CBS Sports. And he said he had no interest in replacing McCarthy. No, not at all, Arians said. If I ever return to coaching, it will only be in Cleveland. Gelb noted that Green Bay is one of the more desirable openings for any coach, and Arians held his stance. Yeah, it is. It's just I have no desire to coach in Green Bay. Mark, this is beyond telegraphing. He's basically begging the Browns to come after him, it seems like.
He is, and in 30-something years as a Browns fan, I've never heard – any potential coach frame the Browns job this way at all. And I really do think that it goes back a little bit. There's a Baker Mayfield factor in there. There's probably a Freddie Kitchens factor in there. There's a comfort with the idea of Cleveland because his first play calling job in the NFL was his 3-year stint with the Browns. And he talks whenever that subject comes up, he talks very fondly about his experiences there before the whole thing melted down and Butch Davis essentially went into he resigned over having a breakdown basically. And then Arians was out the door. That was their last playoff appearance under Arians. And I think that there's unfinished business there, but I think it's just sort of what Cleveland offers. It is an attractive spot right now, especially with Baker Mayfield. And it's one last run for Arians in his mind.
I don't sense as much excitement from the Browns or their fan base as you would think for Bruce Arians. Maybe if he teased a little bit, added some flirtation, we chase that which retreats from us, and he's making himself too available.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. It's tricky. It's a balancing act. You don't want to seem, as Dan said,
cat and mouse,
too thirsty. He also, you know, is as old, even though he has an aggressive downfield philosophy, he is about as kind of pro-style offense as coaches come, and he's turning 67 next year, whereas Baker Mayfield, you would think you would be looking for a coach that would be a little more like a college and new innovative offensive.
Mayfield today talked up Lincoln Riley as someone who's absolutely ready for the NFL.
Kind of reminds me of, remember in Swingers, Mike, when he's leaving the answering machine messages over and over and over again. And he
keeps, my God.
And finally the girl picks up the phone. She's like, don't ever call me again. It's like, Bruce, let it breathe a little bit now. The Browns obviously know you're interested.
Let
them come to you.
I mean, we've all had that some version of that experience back during the answering machine days.
I'll tell you what, Mark. I would be surprised if Bruce Arians is not the Browns head coach.
Erica didn't.
In a month. I think this is going to happen.
Wow.
Because why wouldn't
I would
Browns
love it personally.
It's a splash hire. It matches the direction the league is in right now, a respected offensive mind type guy. And if Arians is passionate about the job and we all know he can coach ball, why wouldn't the Browns give him the job?
I'd be fine with it.
You'd be on fire about it, wouldn't you?
I love him, so yes, yeah. that'd be good.
I think because that's two very strong personalities in him and John Dorsey, and I think they want to find a coach in a perfect world that would be, you know, Baker Mayfield's forever coach. You know, you want a guy that can grow with him, and he's someone who openly had health issues and flirted with retirement a couple of times. He retired, you know. It's not like they fired him.
Sandwich?
No, Bruce Arians. On Arians being the sandwich.
Yeah,
Donka, please, plead me.
It's on. We're
all right.
It's got a sandwich
while.
On it.
All right.
It's
so it's that Bruce Arians will be the next Browns coach.
Impromptu
I have
sandwich.
It.
You have
got
that.
The field.
Yes.
You always
think loving the field on that one.
All right. Let's go with the blotter, Brandon Browner. You remember him. He was kind of like the worst guy in the Legion of Boom. Eventually,
in many ways,
bounced around the league. He's a physical big cornerback. And after he left the league, he got himself into some quite serious business, trouble-wise. He's been sentenced to 8 years in prison after pleading no contest to attempted murder and child endangerment. Greg, you a little surprised this hasn't been a bigger story?
It just struck me that if he was still in the NFL like he was 2 years ago, it would be a massive story. So it's just interesting to me that this happens, and it was horrific what he said. There's not much we can say about what he is accused to have done and was convicted. I mean, it's obviously horrifying, but it is different that, like, if he was still in the league, people would be going nuts about it. Like, what's wrong with the NFL? But then when you're out of the league for a year or two, then it's just off the radar.
In other news, Kareem Hunt, who is now unattached, of course, to any NFL team. In fact, Kareem Hunt being kind of taken off the map entirely. Even the Madden football game has removed him from the game, I read today. So Kareem Hunt has found himself completely cast out of the NFL. And there's more connected to Hunt. The NFL is investigating the former chief running backs, the February altercation with the woman that led to his release, as well as an incident in January and June that involved, I suppose, some type of violence or an altercation of some kind. So Kareem Hunt, who's certainly going to have a lengthy suspension mark down the line, this stuff could even yield more issues for him beyond that one incident.
Well, it's a classic, you know, investigation that's taking place, you know, enigmatically far too later than it should have. And the best... One of the best things that happened this week in the NFL is that no team jumped on trying to grab Kareem Hunt, which would have been a PR disaster and would have revealed one team for its worst, you know, its worst qualities.
Here's a question, Wes. I'll pose it to you. If Reuben Foster doesn't get picked up to by the Redskins and the Redskins got flamed as they deserve to be, if that never happened, do you think some team jumps on the reigning rushing champion in the NFL?
It's a very good question, and it made me think. And my immediate answer was the video makes all the difference, and that's why he would still not have been picked up.
Yeah.
The timing, too, that there's no way he's going to be on the field this year or probably for a chunk of last year. It is just timing, though, because ultimately, do any of us doubt that he's going to be back in the NFL? I mean, I fully...
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Ray Rice never came back.
But
Ray Rice was... Most people thought he couldn't play anymore.
Right. Ray Rice was right at the border of where he was about to be, you know, maybe out of the league anyways. I guess I would be stunned. And I'm not even sure if I have a fleshed out thought on whether that's right, wrong, or whatever. But I'd be stunned if Kareem Hunt's not in the NFL.
He is. I mean, Joe Mixon's in the NFL. There's a videotape incident with
Tyreek Hill.
If you got the talent and you're young, someone's going to take a shot, most likely. We'll see how this all plays out. A lot of IR talk. You never like that. We've had a good season, knock on wood, in terms of major injuries not affecting the league's best players for the most part. But here are some notable names. Greg Olsen today was moved to IR with that foot injury. He's having foot surgery. And he suffered three major injuries to the foot since the start of last season. This could be the end, Greg.
It could.
Are you laughing? Why is it funny that Greg Olsen's incredible career?
It doesn't seem
something totally different. I think Mark and I are both typing at the same time to tell Erica, and I could be totally wrong, that there's some breaking news in the end. Am I wrong?
You are, sort of. But
what's happening?
Go for it.
ESPN is reporting that Emmanuel Sanders is believed to have torn his Achilles at practice Wednesday.
Oh, man.
And that he will be out for the season.
Damn.
Further tests pending, but that's what the Broncos believe.
He's been playing great, too.
He and Philip Lindsay have been carrying that offense all year.
Man, that's a big injury for them. They just traded Demaryius Thomas, of course. Cortland Sutton stepped up last week and had a nice game, but he's been very hot and cold as a rookie.
Yeah, he
had. How does Case Keenum move the football through the air?
Greg, you could tell Sunday night when we were doing the recap that Greg had already mentally checked out on the Broncos because of the Chris Harris injury. But I think this injury hurts even more because you can't.
I just think it's a funny way to set up the point.
No, I mean, I noticed when we were talking the recap last week, Greg was already like mentally like, had taken the Broncos out of the picture.
Like if they had made the playoffs, which because of their schedule, you know, they have two extremely easy games and then they have a Browns game. They could have still made the playoffs, but I guess I was taking them less seriously. If they had snuck in, they'd be one of those Sessler teams that are just kind of sneaking in and then are going to get dropped. And this is going to make it even harder. But they're not out of it.
No, I think they're out of it. Emmanuel Sanders was playing at a really high level this year. He was carrying that passing game.
Well, so Wes, one question. Let's say they have the Niners and the Raiders. I see them getting to 8 wins, and then you head into Week 17 against the Chargers, who may or may not have something to play for. I think they will, but chance to get to 9-7.
No, that's a good point. The Chargers very well might not.
I don't consider at Oakland a gimme for the Broncos without Emmanuel Sanders and Chris Harris.
They're the type of team I think no game is a gimme. I even thought that about Jeff Driskel and the Bengals, and they ended up winning, but that game was tied scoreless late into the second. They're a team that's overcome a lot of things. Their offensive line is bad. They have some things going for them, obviously, with the running game and some of their pass rushers. If it wasn't for the schedule, though, we'd be crossing.
They play the Niners. I think their season comes down to that Saturday night against Cleveland.
The Panthers, and I never answered your Greg Olsen question, I think are in a similar spot. With that, it just sometimes you can feel when things are ending, and maybe Ron Rivera will prove us wrong, him and Cam Newton quietly have done kind of the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy thing a few times where they rally at the end of the season. I found some 2012 Around the NFL article I wrote that Ron Rivera does not know his job status in going into week 17.
Pre-Riverboat.
Right. And that was, he's had a few different runs, and I would never count those two out. But losing Greg Olsen on the same day that Tyler Heinicke is throwing the final pass because Cam Newton's shoulder's so injury, and a day before you're firing defensive coaches, it just feels like the end, doesn't it?
The Cam Newton thing, it's not just the Hail Mary.
Right, that's a
symptom. Go watch that fourth quarter, and he's throwing sideline creepers. The ball is stopping in midair. I mean, the arm strength is not there.
Even the throw before the Hail Mary, which I remember commenting to you, Greg, while we were watching it live, it didn't seem to come out of his hand right and was not.
You don't want those sideline creepers.
Are you guys saying that shoulder injuries are a negative factor for an NFL quarterback?
They seem to be an issue that can affect performance.
And they were Schaub-level passes.
And he's struck. Ouch. The weird thing is, and I think it should be pointed out, though, he made a number of really good throws in that game. So it's a little confusing. Sometimes it looks
It doesn't take as much arm strength to throw to the hashes as it does to the sideline. Mm-hmm.
Boys, let's get into this more on Thursday when we talk Panthers preview.
What about the sideline creepers opening tonight in Los Angeles?
The AJ Green season's over, re-aggravated that toe injury, and we don't really have time to talk about it right now, but we'll have to track what happens with him in the offseason as he enters his age 31 season, 1 year left on his deal. Landon Collins of the Giants, whose star seems to have faded a little bit after a great start to his career. He is on IR with an injury. And Christian Kirk, the rookie wide receiver for the Cardinals, busted up his leg, I believe.
Landon Collins is a free agent this offseason. So I would think they would use the franchise tag on him. I don't have any other options in front of me. That could be a tricky long-term contract to do because of this injury.
Broken foot for Christian Kirk ends his season.
The Cardinals now officially ultra boring.
Let's fork him.
Still in the hunt, though, I think.
I mean,
since week one.
Let's fork him. Finally in the news.
By the way, playoffpicture.com, NFL.com. I know you're listening out there, some of the programmers. You got to take the Raiders and some of these teams out of in the hunt on the playoff picture. Because some of them are even officially out, but they're still sitting there. Take them out.
You heard them. Finally in the news.
This really annoys me.
Joe Philbin replaced Mike McCarthy as coach of the Packers in an interim capacity on Sunday. But more changes came on Tuesday. Associate head coach Winston Moss, who's been with the team for a long time and he's coached the outside linebackers most recently, was let go on Tuesday. The decision, it is said, came from Philbin himself. And although it is not an unusual thing for these type of coaching shakeups to happen, especially when the head coach gets let go, a lot of people are connecting the dots to a tweet from Winston Moss in which he wrote this: ponder this. What championship teams have are great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. I don't know what that is. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in the building to a hashtag Lombardi standard, period, exclamation point. The period has an exclamation point. Hashtag losing sucks. Wes, is this a case? I'm going to use a youth term for you here, so you know, stay with me. Of Winston Moss getting canned because he was too online?
I don't know what this means.
Was he too online? And is that why he's unemployed?
Let me take it back to where I'm comfortable, like the 1970s and 80s. This would be like firing Johnny Carson and keeping Ed McMahon around. He was top lieutenant to McCarthy for 12 years. And obviously still.
Was he too online?
I think yes.
It seems like the tweet is what put it over the top, though.
It is,
or else he would have been fired the other day.
Right after I think he realizes he was too online because he comes back with a second tweet that says the Packers have informed me that they're letting me go. Wrong version of there, but that's okay. Then hashtag thanks Twitter.
So he puts the blame on the tweet.
Yeah,
but not on himself, but on the forum of Twitter.
Twitter's
for
gotten,
amplifying right. his message. Right. He sought to be amplified.
Right. So
Twitter's gotten a lot of people hired. And it's gotten a lot of people fired.
Mm.
Giveth, taketh away. Ian Rapport said on Around the NFL today, or what's that show called? Up to the Minute. That was a show that used to be
Canceled. Our show did not. They forced us to take on the logo of that show that was, you know, eventually axed.
Right.
But the
as I was warming up in the bullpen,
that fits the bill.
You know, they're out of pitchers. I'm in the bullpen coming in for the 14th. I noticed that Ian mentioned talking about this topic that Moss had kind of been surly and not really communicative and distant throughout the season. So that
works in a workplace. That's a good quality to have in a workplace.
It happens in a workplace. At least we can admit that.
It happens to some people in this room, even someone talking right now.
That's what's happening in the news. Well put. Hey, everybody. This holiday season, treat your family to world-class steaks, burgers, chops, and more with Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is a fifth-generation family-owned company with over 100 years of experience delivering perfectly aged beef hand-cut by master butchers in Omaha. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an amazing limited-time offer to my listeners. Hey, it's what the script says.
All right.
When you go to omahasteaks.com and enter code AROUND into the search bar, you'll get 74% off Omaha Steaks family gift package, originally 195 bones, now just $49.99. Sirloin steak, pork chops, chicken fried steak. Wes, you're loving this. Steak burgers, kielbasa, meatballs. Please get in on this. A limited time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type AROUND into the search bar, and add the family gift package to your cart. That's omahasteak.com, code AROUND.
I'm going to get some of that and then mix it with my sous vide.
Do it. All right, now, let's keep moving. What's got you jazzed? As we head to the final
scrambled eggs all over my face
4 weeks of the regular season. And
wait, there, the scrambled eggs are on his face?
Yes, which is
calling again.
I don't know. I try it.
I read a you know how the internet does a nice job with this. No one ever knew what toss out and scrambled eggs meant in that song. And then the guy who wrote the song was like, oh, yeah, me and the lyricist, we worked it out. Toss salad and scrambled eggs was supposed to mirror the minds of these people that would call Dr. Fraser Crane on the radio show that had mixed up heads. Toss salad, scrambled eggs.
I like it. It's good.
Now you know the rest of the story.
All right, so let's go around the room and explain what's got you jazzed, what's got you excited as we look ahead to the final 4 weeks of the regular season. Greg, get us going.
How many are we doing here? Cause, you know,
we got one.
Strategy.
Oh,
just
one.
Just
all right,
one?
Okay.
All right.
Well, we could be quick.
We were very, very long on news, so we
could be
have
quick.
To get back
we,
some.
We could be quick. And I know
– No, you can't.
It's a good thing that I could try at least.
Okay.
It's a good thing I'm going first because I'm taking Leighton Vander Esch before Wes or anyone else can.
He got you?
Ouch.
I mean, I have a bunch prepared because I'm, you know.
Yeah, pro.
Okay. I'm trying to be a pro.
Wes and I were watching the Cowboys game the other night, and we were having a little fun. And he said, why is that a humble? He said, you know, Leighton Vander Esch might be like the best player in the NFL right now. And I tweeted out, and people got really worked up.
Twitter mad?
Worked up. But here's the thing. I'm not saying he's the best player, but if for the five games that he's played, the difference that he's made, you can't play linebacker any better than he's playing. And so I don't think it's too soon to say for these five games, and I think he'll keep it up on some level. I don't know if he can stay at this insane level. He is playing as well as basically anyone because you can't play any better than Leighton Vander Esch right now. I had to go back and watch that on coaches because I just wanted to kind of like see it. And it's an amazing thing. And he has great teammates too. Jalen Smith is a lot of fun to watch. But just seeing this kid come in as good a rookie linebacker as I think we've seen in a long, long time.
Which is why it's absurd to hear Jerry Jones come out to say this week that the minute Sean Lee is healthy, he'll be back starting. I know Eric is a big Leighton Van Der Esch fan.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Farm raised. He really is farm raised.
For the record, I was joking about him being – I also said –
Well, no, I know you're joking.
I also said he's basically Jim Thorpe and people will tell tall tales about him 100 years from now and he's going to change the game. No, he's just fun to watch because it's like watching a young Brian Urlacher.
Right, and it's not that we think he's the best, but you really can't play it. Like, I don't think it's crazy to say he's been – as good as any defensive player in the league for this 4 to 5 weeks span.
Right. And
you know what I mean?
To your point, Mark, maybe it's a bad move to take off this guy off the field, but Sean Lee's not like a pile of vomit. He's been the backbone of that D for many years. So I understand why, again, inside the locker room, inside an organization, you don't want to say
no,
Sean
they'll
Lee.
Find a way.
No doubt. I'm not worried about starts. I'd be more worried about snaps. Keep him on the field.
I bet they won't. They got to keep him. They'll switch things around.
All right. I'll throw it out there.
All right.
Okay. I'm excited about the Chargers. I'm very excited about the Chargers. And I don't get excited about the Chargers often because in the past I've been kind of annoyed by them. But I feel like I like when forever losers find some semblance of peace. You know, one of my favorite sports stories of the decade and a lot of people is when the Cubs finally won a couple of years back. The Eagles won. Remember Connie Fox crying on the field? We played that during our Super Bowl show. When I happened upon Connie,
Erica crying too. This for different reasons. Yeah,
Erica was literally balled up on the concourse of the stadium. Where were we again? What stadium was it?
Houston,
Minnesota.
Minnesota, not Houston.
And
Houston.
Just sobbing because the Patriots had lost their.
It was worse than sobbing. I was like quiet, and there were just tears streaming from my face.
It was tough, but that's not what this is about. So
it was like dropping a 3-year-old off at preschool on the first day.
Oh.
So anyway, so you got the Eagles finally won after losing 53 straight or not winning a Super Bowl for 52 straight years. The Browns this year finally found a quarterback, and they seem to be going in the right direction. Now you got the Chargers, a team that's always found a way to lose, and I looked at Sunday night as a major step forward for that organization, and I'll be very excited to see, although this story will be written in January, hopefully, if they can close strong, maybe catch the Chiefs, maybe – have home game, maybe a bye, and how fascinating it would be to see what that stadium would be like, the StubHub Center, if they're 12-4, 13-3, hosting a playoff game. Will they fill it up with their fans, or will it get invaded? That's all stuff that will play out. But let's see what happens with the Chargers. And I will add one more note, Wes, because I want to hear your thoughts on this as well. There's a flip side to this story. You want to see the Chargers finish strong because it's been years of disappointment and heartache. But then you got, what about all those poor people in San Diego? Which, to me, I still think about those fans. And wouldn't it be bittersweet if the Chargers finally got over the hump 2 years after they leave San Diego?
It would be bittersweet. You're right. And the San Diego fans would obviously be a little ambivalent about that. But I don't know. Phil Rivers' life is affected too, and a lot of these Chargers players, like, you wouldn't wish good things for them.
Yeah.
Some fans, I don't get the sense that a ton, but some of the San Diego fans have stuck with them. I mean, I've noticed them. They've been on the road a little bit. I mean, there was a story about a Steelers fan choking a pregnant Chargers fan at that game, which is a horrible
heartwarming
story.
Tale.
The husband and wife said they had come from San Diego though, and they had been to a number of road games this year. So they are out there.
It is a minuscule number.
It's a small number.
And it's about as ugly a split as you could imagine.
I was thinking about that. You say a minuscule number, and we're not the people to do it because we wouldn't be able to. Just quite frankly, we wouldn't be able to write this story on NFL.com about what's going on in San Diego. But I'm surprised no one's like digging in. Like, what happened to the fan base? Are people still supporting this team?
There's some of that coverage because the ratings are significantly higher for the Chargers in San Diego than any other team still. Now, they're significantly down from where they were.
Right.
But they're way more popular in San Diego than they are in Los Angeles. It is a shame to what you're saying, though. Like, San Diego would be on fire with the Chargers right now if they were still there. But I'm with you 100%, obviously, and it's mostly because of Philip Rivers. This is like the
year of Phil.
this is the season I wanted, was being in these meaningful games. He's going to be on the Thursday night finale a week from now against the Chiefs. That's going to be a big-time game. He's going to be against the Ravens a couple nights before Christmas. That's a big-time game. And he's going to be in the playoffs. It'll probably be as
if you don't like Philip Rivers, you simply have issues, and you need to examine yourself.
Wow.
He's got that new haircut, a little bit longer.
I like it.
A little more confident, yeah.
And my final thought is, if the Chargers get over the hump and the Eagles do it and if the Browns do it and if the Cubs do it, eventually it's got to get to the Jets.
Mm.
That's
I could see that.
Connecting the dots.
I mean, just the processes of elimination.
Yeah.
All right, Wes, you're up.
I think the guys who are getting me excited, can Aaron Donald break the sack record? How many records can Patrick Mahomes break? But it's more than just the record. It's about interrogating limits to the game and watching something we've never seen, changing the sport, giving something new to football, like Randy Moss going over the top of a defender or Barry Sanders juking his way out of a jam. Lawrence Taylor forcing teams to put a premium on athletic freaks at left tackle. Aaron Donald, who knows what he's going to force teams to do at guard and center. What he did in that Lions game might have been the most impressive ever been with him. That game was phenomenal, and he just seems to get better and more unstoppable every week. Patrick Mahomes, in a season full of highlight clips where he's the most fun to play player to watch, I thought he was more fun than ever last week against the Raiders. Some of the throws he attempted and tried to pull off.
Crazy.
Like, how do you even imagine that you could make that throw? So to me, watching these two guys who remind me of Hall of Famers in the past doing things we've never seen and continuing to do them the rest of the year.
Is it kind of like the equivalent of an NBA player with a heat check, you know, shooting from 38 feet?
Yeah, it's like Steph Curry. We've never seen anybody play the game like Steph Curry.
I don't think we've ever seen anybody play the game like Mahomes.
I meant specifically some of the throws he attempted, but and I've said that before. I get this like Steph Curry, Patrick Mahomes. I feel like there's some type of connection between those two guys.
Two of the top. I think there's three strong candidates for MVP. I think those are two of them. Interrogating the limits of the game. I like that. That sounds like a column or a
you think Aaron Donald could get MVP?
Yes, I do.
I think I think if
people like us need to keep talking about
it. I think
it
he's worthy, but I just don't trust that. I don't trust the voters.
I wish, you know what? I wish they actually you could vote for three players that it would be more like the NBA, but it's just one vote. But I think if it was held this week, I think it would go Breeze, Mahomes, Donald in that order. And they'd all get some votes.
How do you get a vote? Erica, can you get on
I think you have
that?
To be part of the Pro Football Writers Association, in which I've attempted to get involved with them, and they
can
said
you,
no.
Can you ensure that we have a vote in 2019 going forward?
You guys specifically?
Yeah.
How about one group vote?
Yeah, group vote.
Group vote.
That won't create any
Can you reach out? I'm being dead serious. Can you reach out to whoever you need to reach out to and pitch our show for a single vote?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not joking, though.
Yeah.
This will go undone. I guarantee this
well,
goes undone.
No, it's of course I'll like send an email, but it.
And like, then see if they respond. You could read the response. If they don't respond,
all right.
Send
if,
another email.
If you can get this done, we will all give you money. We'll talk about.
Greg will give you money.
Total. Yes.
Money.
I'm just saying, if she can
like deal with a
pull this off, let's give her some real motivation. See, now she's writing things down. She's
no integrity. Money talks. Greg. I mean.
Mark.
Mark.
All right. These days, when I wake up every morning feeling
super
luscious, it has everything to do with one human being I can't stop thinking about.
Is it ex-network news anchor Connie Chung?
No, it's not Connie Chung.
Is it former White House twin Barbara Bush, the fiery redhead one who was nabbed by cops for underage alcohol possession and then nailed for going like 105 on the highway?
It is neither Roots. Bush twin.
Mark, ooh, is it Hillary Clinton in her little beige pantsuit?
Not her.
Wait, it has to be Jane Austen, that little minx, all tucked away in her British cottage, knocking out mega hit novels in her fluffy small dress.
No, it's not Jane Austen, Erica.
You're a brat. Just tell me. Wait, is it Princess Leia when she's in her white puffy Hoth snowsuit?
It's not abroad.
You're definitely in Mark's like little back room.
Tell me.
It's private room.
It's this guy.
The snap goes to Duke Johnson. Then they flip it around. Then they throw it, and Mayfield caught it.
Well, if it was
it's the Philly special, Cleveland style.
Mayfield under center. Play action fake. Baker back. Baker getting rushed. Baker rolls right, fires. Higgins up. Caught it in the end zone. Touchdown.
Baker loads. He throws. Landry got it. He's at the 45. He's at the 48-yard line. Well, Baker Mayfield, here you go. Just the way you like it.
Mayfield to throw on first down. Makes the connection. Jarvis
this
Landry
25 minutes
catch
long, by the way.
Across the 45.
I honestly wanted to come up with something else, but I was like, what am I truly, truly excited about?
It's
because
honest.
Every other December is the most depressing month because you're in a race trying to get the number one overall pick to solve this eternal void at quarterback. And this is one December. They have a primetime game on Saturday night. I can't wait to watch that. I don't really care if they're winning or losing because they have a future where it matters most, and it does have me excited about the Browns for the first time really ever. It's a different type of excitement.
I mean, Wes dialed up the Browns-Texans game as his first Game Pass game last week, and that was a game you knew that Baker was going to struggle
That's
in.
2 weeks in a row I dialed up the Browns
first. That
says
a lot. Baker is among the most fun guys in the league to watch right now. Wait, did you say that Jane Austen was a minstress that was nestled away in her coffin in
cottage?
England? Oh, cottage.
Erica said it.
Oh.
I didn't say it.
Cottage. Because I think she's probably in a coffin.
There were a couple of them.
In this
definitely
world,
Princess Leia. And there was another one, I think the Bush daughter.
Oh, Barbara Bush, the redhead?
I know Mark well. What revs his engine? And a couple of those things found their way into the script.
He definitely likes the mix of politics and women.
Innocence corrupted.
The Barbara Bush, like, junior, whatever she is far superior to
Barbara
the Jenna
Bush
product.
I was once at a
Barbara Bush Jr.
Well, why don't they do juniors for women? That seems ridiculous to me.
What they
you
call
are
her junior.
You are a younger version of the other Barbara Bush. You're the junior
gender
version.
Inequalities.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
I was once at a party with her,
Barbara Bush II,
in Westwood as a 21-year-old, and the Secret Service was there. How about
damn.
That?
Oh, damn!
Little pong action.
Damn!
What?
She was playing.
She was playing.
Were you interacting with her?
No.
You're like, that cup doesn't count. The Secret Service is like, it counts.
She was in the mix.
It counts.
Can I have another one?
I mean, how long do you guys want the show to be?
This one's important.
Because I hear a lot of talk that we don't want the show to
be. This one's important.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm excited to watch the best triplets. And Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelsey are in there. But, you know, Chase Daniel has made the Bears boring. Let's get Trubisky back in there with Khalil Mack and Tariq Cohen on a wheel route against an unsuspecting linebacker. But my favorite triplets are the old Zeuser, the Quiet Storm, and Dr. Rainmaker. You guys have sat beside me for 700 shows. You
Wait
sat beside me for a grueling battle with cancer. Will you stand beside me on the most important day of my life?
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
I'm glad we did this.
My favorite triplets.
Oh,
wow,
my God.
What an honor.
That's amazing.
I'm almost about to cry. Of course.
Do we have to formally accept that we accept?
I think I will do that with you.
I will accept without any questions.
Dan was like, got to get the Jags Titans. I'm glad we got this in.
Wow. Yes.
Well, get up and give him a hug.
Yes, yes, 100 times yes.
We don't have to hug.
When the show ends.
Of course.
It's like, oh, no, human contact. No human contact. Please. Oh, how exciting.
Well, you know what that means.
Keisha's got to update her website.
The three of us get to organize a bachelor party.
Oh, it's going to be exactly what Wes doesn't want.
I have some thoughts as you might.
Paintball? Strip club?
No.
Poker?
Poker.
No.
Yeah, a lot of card games.
I thought maybe a trip to Big Bear or something.
That sounds fun.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you
Definitely
want.
Go to the Bear.
Sorry, Erica, that you're not in the mix on this one.
No, it's okay. I felt privy because he texted me a little bit ago, so I knew before you guys.
Oh. Yeah.
She can go to Big Bear with us.
Do we have?
Yeah.
Do we really have to do the preview of Thursday Night Football?
No.
This is a much better way to end the show.
End the show this way.
I think it's fine. Sorry, Titans fans. Win a couple games.
Go win a ball game, Titans. Oh, I'm going to get blamed
honor.
For that. But blame Wes with his big announcement.
Sorry,
wow.
Titans fans.
Mark Brady, a shadowy league figure behind the glass, wondering why he wasn't included in the wedding party.
Just on the fringe there.
So is this, I think, wait, now we are close enough to the date, I believe. those odds for David Ealy being best man seem to be ballooning. They might have to take it off the board.
I have already asked someone to be my best man, so David Ealy.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Is it Nick Wesseling?
It is Nick Wesseling.
All right. Quick Nick.
It's Nick.
I like that, too, that he's not too tall. Like, when the four of us are standing up there, it's not like one giant tall person. And
No, he's about Dan's height.
Nick was at the hospital room, right?
Yeah.
I like that he earned this. He said, look, the seven other Wesseling boys, I'm the best brother. I'm going to earn this spot.
Greg, you're already stirring trouble, which is not your role here.
Pulled himself up by his bootstraps and earned it.
Exactly. Oh, this is so exciting. It is in April, right?
It's in May.
May. Very exciting. Got to book those flights.
Yeah.
Got to get it going.
I got someone to watch my kids already. Shout out to Dean Rosenthal.
Dino.
All right, Dino.
Just leaving mine home alone.
We will be back on tomorrow, Thursday night, with a recap of the Titans and Jaguars. So get excited for that. And then we'll preview the rest of the Week 14 games. Make sure you check that out. And Wes, yes. 100 times yes.
All right.
This is Dan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm. The mailman. The soon-to-be Mr. Lakeisha Jackson. The old boss. And the loose cannon, Ricky Hollywood, behind the glass. Till Thursday night.